Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, happy hour. Hey, you know what?
What?
Probably your family sucks. So your chosen family here at the Stephanie Miller Show Happy Hour are giving you, how would you like to have Soledad O'Brien and Harry Littman, legal lad, at your Thanksgiving table?
That would be amazing.
They could take care of my uncle.
Right? Instead of your racist uncle that you want to throw mashed potatoes at, we have better, smarter Thanksgiving friends for you.
Yes.
Oh my God, how nerdy was I? How geeking out was I with Soledad O'Brien?
She's an amazing
person.
It was
awkward.
She really is.
Yeah.
We have like Inca Dot for voting. Like if I could like her tweets that many, I would punch through the Twitter machine. Just like, yes.
You should see me last night. I was sitting on the couch and Dylan was trying to tell me a story. And I looked about, I'm sorry, I'm DMing with Soledad O'Brien
I'm
right
DMing
now.
DMing with Soledad. Anyway, amazing. And Harry Littman, one of our legal lads, of course, so much going on between the Rittenhouse Aubrey lynching.
Flying everywhere.
Not trial,
right.
The Ahmaud Aubrey lynching. And anyway, so yeah, and January 6th, stuff is coming fast and
it
furious. And we feel like he thinks Georgia will be the velociraptor that gets Donald Trump. So tune in for all the details and, happy hour.
Yeah.
I mean, have some mashed potatoes with this, please.
Some stuffing. Stuffing is the best.
And some sauerkraut.
Right. Oh, please, have my Polish sauerkraut with this happy hour. And happy hour. Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it, right? Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loan makes it nearly impossible to pay off all your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done With Debt is your lifeline. Done With Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done With Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators knows how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt, they're the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Time to finally get some sleep. Time to rest easy. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. One more time. Donewithdebt.com. Do it now. Donewithdebt.com. This would be my legal stack this morning.
Yes.
So I was like, get me my legal lad. Even if he's from UCLA, even though I went to USC, get me Professor Harry Littman. Good morning, Harry Littman.
Good morning, Steph. Tough week for you, huh?
Nice. Well played.
I don't pay attention. Did a football team of some kind lose?
I don't either. It was my last class at UCLA. I'm returning to UCSD next semester.
He's still a UC person.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well. Yes.
Go try.
Okay, here is the amount of I give about college football. Let's move on.
Go Bruins, sorry.
So, Harry, we obviously, there's a, you know, these new indictments for Roger Stone again. Roger Stone Redux Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still waiting right on, Meadows and also Scavino.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were hoping that the Bannon indictment would be the first domino to fall, but obviously we're not seeing, you know, that's what they're saying. The indictment of Steve Bannon has not broken the logjam of other Trump advisors who are disobeying congressional subpoenas. So you wrote a piece about this. Tell us your opinion on what will happen and what should happen.
Okay. I mean, my take was that Bannon was, absolutely a lightning bolt and totally needed to happen. And if you imagined a world in which it didn't, Congress would be, you know, basically powerless. But the thing about Bannon, he's now out of the system. He's, you know, roadkill in the criminal system. We're never going to get the information from him, except, of course, he's already provided it because he's such a blabbermouth on his podcast and such. Meadows, different guy. They need his testimony. He is sort of Trump's minder and shadow, and by many accounts now, co-strategist for all the goings-on in the first week in January. So if they were to refer him to for criminal contempt, that means he would be on a different track and it wouldn't come through. Moreover, he is somebody on his own said who he's no Bannon. He's no sort of, you know, Bannon seems to revel in his outlaw status. Meadows is, by all counts, he's not rich as Bannon is.
Right, and you say he
doesn't want to be indicted. That's kind of bad for professional standing when you're in D.C. So all of that says to me that it's likely that even though the committee is understandably feeling its oats and saber-rattling, that's a very bad mixed metaphor, isn't it?
Yes.
In the wake.
I wouldn't expect anything else from UCLA, but go ahead.
They're probably going to work out some kind of arrangement where you know, nobody gets exactly what they want. Just my best guess how these things play out.
Explain this part of your piece, though, that you wrote about it. You said it's inconceivable the committee is considering bringing a civil contempt case against Meadows. If it could be done quickly and if it succeeded, that would be a powerful option. Meadows would go to jail and stay there until he complied with the committee's subpoena. I think it was our mutual friend Glenn Kirshner that wondered why they didn't do that with Bannon as well. Why not do inherent contempt where you hold the key, as you say, to your own jail cell?
Yeah.
So that you're more likely to get testimony and documents and also go the DOJ route. Is there a reason you can't do both?
There's an easy reason, and that's time. So Glenn has been talking, interestingly, about a third theory, this inherent contempt, and bring him down to the jail in the Congress. But that, at a minimum, would be a whole court, Megillah as well. And so that would take a long time. The whole reason that we had all the frustrations during the Trump years is they were able to play a delay game because they took things immediately to court, and the sort of lifespan of a civil action was much longer than what they needed in the committee. By all accounts, we're still there, except, oh, hallelujah, the Trump, you know, just yesterday they had they finished the briefing and they have arguments in the Trump case himself that, remember, he lost in the district court, and now it's up in the Court of Appeals that issued a super expedited ruling. If they would go at that kind of pace, Steph, that would do it. And remember, Susan McDougall, I mean, how's it work? If you're in civil contempt, into jail, please, take your toothbrush, and when you're ready to talk, we're here to listen.
I believe I interviewed Susan McDougall while she had a monitoring, an ankle monitor on. I think we heard it beep.
She'd shuffle out. But if it, you know, if it goes to one district court judge, let's say it goes to the guy whom Bannon himself has drawn, a really good conservative, clerk for Justice Thomas, if they want to take the time, as the courts did repeatedly in the Trump era, then you're in, you know, in suspended in a man, and there's nothing you can do. And I think yesterday's actions also sort of show it. They're very conscious that they gotta wrap it up by, you know, what, August, September, and so they can't afford. It would be a roll of the dice that they could get there quickly. There's no rule that says it should. Adam Schiff wants to make such a rule. Ted Lieu wants to make such a rule. And if we only had such a rule, the last few years would have been very different. But we don't, and so it's more of a guessing game for them.
And so what happens with Stone and Alex Jones, do you think? I mean, same thing, they're going to defy them, and then what?
Well, each of them is pretty... It starts with how much you need their testimony, it seems to me. And, you know, I actually, so this has just happened, but I think part of what they're doing is also, remember, there's this sort of 200 people who are cooperating and then like the 20 in the mix, many of whom I think Furtick and Stepien and, you know, are due to talk today. So that this round is also showing them, hey, we will subpoena you. I think you're right. They're likely to be completely uncooperative, but they don't have any very, you know, for what they're being asked, they don't have an executive privilege claim. So that's one other point that's in the op-ed. We don't know what caused DOJ to pull the trigger on this, and it was a very unusual move, but part of it might have been that Bannon had no executive privilege claim
at all.
Stars,
okay.
Unlike Meadows,
where
are Stone and Powell in that setting? They're more Bannon types,
right? So, you know, we keep saying, like, you know, for those of us that have been saying for how many years, we've got him now.
Yeah.
Michael Cohen has implicated Ivanka and Don Jr. in crimes while predicting more indictments are coming. He said there's quite a few people who were involved. Eric Trump, obviously Alan Weisselberg, who's already under indictment, Don Jr., Ivanka. There are a slew of people who were involved in this.
Is he talking specifically about January 6th?
I believe Michael Cohen's talking about New York. This is what I'm kind of going, which is the one that we're not going to be looking at that's going to get him? Is it this? Because to me, that seems quite obviously clearly illegal, undervaluing properties all over the world wildly for taxes and then wildly inflating it for loans, right? I mean, is that how serious?
And it's pretty clear they did it, but can they get to them? Roads seem to leave through Weisselberg. He seems ready to do time, the 74-year-old, you know, guy that he is. But that one has to hurdle to a conclusion soon, because Cy Vance Jr., who runs the office, has already announced he's out next. Are we November now? He's out in you know, 5 weeks, and he wants to make those final decisions. But right now, I think he's got, and what Michael's talking about, he's got some good stuff on the Trump organization. That's not the same as Trump. The sleeper case here, if we're being, if indulging in black humor and playing Trump indictment poker, is Fulton County. Because that's a freestanding, clean case with really exceptional evidence. It's the, you know, an hour and a half phone call to the Secretary of State that the Secretary of State taped, and that Trump is shaking him down, and you have
Look, this is helpful this morning in my morning stack. Mark Meadows used his private Gmail account to pressure Georgia officials to undo Trump's loss.
Boy.
Oh, that seems helpful in an evidentiary sense, doesn't it, Counselor?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think
all
so.
Right. Okay.
And illegal besides.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there isn't, what, just yesterday, that we're over a year past the administration, we found out about two or three. They operated. It was a complete organized criminal, continuing criminal enterprise.
How?
So yeah, no surprise there. And right. But that goes back to what I was saying about Meadows. Meadows is, you know, he's Haldeman and Ehrlichman or whatever, and having him funneled into the criminal justice system would be a loss.
Yeah.
And his lawyer is saying they want to play ball, although I'm sure they're offering, you know, written answers, not under oath, and that kind of thing. And, you know, he has to be under oath.
So how unusual is this? The RNC is paying Trump's legal bills for this, the financial stuff before he was president. I mean, I guess we should be happy politically that they've just tied themselves. Rona McDaniel has embraced Trump as the future of the party. She recently said if he left the GOP, we would lose. So, I mean, but that's highly unusual, isn't it, for them to pay his legal bills for his crimes before he was running?
The guy has millions of dollars in legal bills every month that he normally doesn't pay, which makes it harder to get good representation. The ins and outs of there are times when a campaign can pay and times when it can't. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we are on the line or over it. You know, we just found out among the five indicted yesterday that Stone is one of the two well-known ones, but we have two people who are financing. One guy who's Trump's current spokesperson, who's doing something for a $200,000 donation for what? Advertising. Yeah. Advertising for the January 6th rally. This is way too big, costs way too much money, takes way too much logistics, it seems to me. If you have a sense of the three percenters and the Proud Boys, they are not high rollers, they're not financial whizzes, and it seems that the committee is on to information that they got help, and that is in the people who are in the shadows between the three percenters and the Trumps of the world. Sorry,
so,
go ahead.
Harry, before we got to get to the Ahmaud Arbery lynching, let's just say it like it is. Obviously, we're still reeling from the disappointment of vigilante justice getting the thumbs up in the Rittenhouse trial. But you said first thing you're taught in trial lawyer school is not to over-assert in your opening, i.e. not to say things the evidence won't show. Example, there's a probable cause to believe Arbery had committed a crime. Defense is now caught in that trap. Will the jury remember, and how will it dig out? You also said prosecutor Linda Dunaus-Kakowski tells jurors this morning that what McMichaels and Brian Jr. did was no citizen's arrest. They speculated Arbery committed a crime, but they did not see a crime occur. And to conduct a citizen's arrest, one must see a crime in progress, not speculate. Mm-hmm. And you finally said, here's a not guilty verdict. Guilty. Would it be perilously close to sanctioning a new open season for lynching in Georgia? This case seems so clear to me. That I just can't. First of all, they didn't even say they're making a citizen's arrest.
Right.
They had no right to make a citizen's arrest. They, asked him three times. Three times he said, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, I don't know how else. And it seems to me the prosecutor is doing a very good job. What is your take on what's going to happen there?
Yeah, so she is, she really is splendid. She's methodical, but which is all the first thing for a prosecutor, because you've got to cover all bases. Anything could be the reasonable doubt. But she's organized, she's down to earth, if any, she's all, has a folksy quality. She's occasionally showing flashes of outrage and passion. She's really, really solid. But look, there are seven charges. They're a little complicated, from felony murder down, different kinds of intent.
Yeah.
And I'm always, we're not in the room, and, I don't want to pretend to have seen all the evidence. But, yeah, it seems that way to me, too, from the start. The first encounter, it's a joke to say that it's a citizen's arrest. And if they somehow could skate by on that. Then we really are saying, and vigilante, Rittenhouse. I understood the verdict better, but there it is a kind of sanction of vigilantism, and with all the other crap afoot in the country and how it plays into
and also
gun
this
rights and rage,
protecting of property that
it's a bad
right.
Deal,
it's this protecting of property in the Rittenhouse case. No one asked him to protect effing anything,
right?
And in the Aubrey case, he wasn't stealing anything or doing anything. Like, I you got to grab a shotgun and chase a guy because You think he might have stolen? I mean, it's just the whole thing is you know, the mind reels about three black guys, you know, well, making a citizen's arrest of a white guy running through their neighborhood, right? I mean,
That's the theme that people are tiptoeing about. But Rittenhouse, people said repeatedly, look, just do the thought experiment where he's a black 17-year-old, and are they giving him sandwiches and thanking him? Yeah. And now do the thought experiment. You know, it's obvious that. Even trying to credit this community, the sense of this guy's got to be a criminal. And did you hear about this morning his not wearing socks?
No, I was just going to say quickly because we're running way late. Okay. Harry, is this prosecutor deliberately trying to get a mistrial between the inflammatory no more black pastors?
No, that was
the
defense attorney who said
that.
Yeah,
that was defense.
Well, right, but I mean, what's the about the dirty toenails and whatever? I mean, I know
that's
there's
a defense attorney
but there's been speculation that they're trying to get a mistrial because they think it's not going well for them.
Yeah,
what
but
do
you
think?
Can't, well, same principle as applies to their defendants apply to them. You can't create your own mistrial, but yes. Look, normally, we have some information that they may have done overtures for a plea. It isn't going well. And in general, a defense will welcome a mistrial because they'll have a better shot the second time around knowing the prosecutor's playbook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. As I've said before to all of you that have devoted your life to this, the law is dumb. But thank you for coming on to talk about it with us. And
it's a sober time. If these twin verdicts come out that way, it's really, you know,
scary. Open season on people you don't like, you don't agree with,
right?
Yeah,
and especially and by the way, take for open season. Here's your AR-15. You know, use it safely.
Yeah. Harry, thanks so much. Get out of enemy territory now. Get back to San Diego where you belong.
Bye. I'm back.
Okay. All right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
She is multiple Emmy Award winning. She is a legend. Soledad O'Brien joins us now. All right, I freaked out.
Hi. Legend.
Oh, hi.
I like that.
Oh,
legend.
Hi.
That sounds a little old, though. I might, you know, legend? Legend is like you win some legend thing literally 3 years before you there.
A while ago when you said someone introduced you as formerly from CNN. You're like, can we move on? I am so in that.
You know what's so funny with
productions.
Young people today? Now this sounds old, but young people today, someone will say, you worked at CNN? Oh. Like a whole other life. Yeah. They only know me through Twitter and Instagram, which I kind of love.
We were saying we've met, and I'm like, when someone says, you know, I was on your show, I'm like, you'll have to be more specific about which canceled show you mean. But it's probably 20 years ago, right? We met somewhere. Yeah.
Yep, exactly right. Well, we've both been in this for a minute, so at some point you're like.
Yeah. Oh, as Mark Levin always says about me, I've been up and coming for 20 years. Bastard person. My point, Soledad, is that you have an amazing documentary. HBO debuted today. It's today and tomorrow, right? HBO and HBO Max.
Yeah.
And I've seen
clips tonight.
Yeah, but I've seen clips of it. It is amazing. It is called Black and Missing. Focuses on all the missing people of color whose stories go untold and uncovered. If I could like all of your tweets 1,000,000,000 times, I would. Like, is there something beyond like? But because you're just, but again, this is something that it's become a joke, you know, missing white lady syndrome, but it's not a joke. And you show these real people and these real families. Just talk to us a little bit about the whole idea and the process of doing this.
Yeah. One of the things that was sort of very surprising for me in the documentary, in the second episode, a former news president, we're interviewing. Dateline is doing a story on missing white woman syndrome. Mm-hmm. And they sit down with the news president of NBC who says, race is not a factor in how these stories are covered. And you literally, like, you just want to fall out of your chair, right? Because it's so obviously a factor. In fact, I think most people would agree. I don't think that's a particularly controversial statement. People understand it. And you think, well, if you're the news president and you literally do not believe what the data clearly shows, that Black people and people of color don't get the coverage, and you run the place, right? Like this is a bit of the problem. And so, we wanted to really examine what Gwen Ifill would call the missing white woman syndrome, which is not just that news organizations go crazy when there's a young, attractive, usually blonde white woman who's missing. And by the way, a horrible tragedy for any family that's missing a person. I used to think, like, I can't imagine how a parent gets up in the morning. You know, I mean, just it's the most horrific thing. There's a whole bunch of other people.
My best friend when I was growing up is still missing. She went missing when we were like 21 or something, and has never. So I know what you mean about there's a special pain. There's no resolution. No resolution.
Cannot imagine how you live with a gaping wound. And even if it's, closure, there's no closure, obviously. But I think that same gaping wound exists for people who are missing loved ones, but no one seems to care. The media doesn't want to cover it. That their loved one, because they're not white and young and pretty, they're young and pretty and Black, girls of color often, just the media doesn't think that that's much of a story. And so race is a factor in that coverage. I think someone said to me when we started working on this doc with the Gabby Petito case, like, oh my gosh, the timing is amazing. And we've been doing this doc for 3 years, we've been working on it. So it's sadly always good timing, right? We could, Lacey Peterson, Elizabeth Smart, Natalie Holloway, I mean, all horrific, heartbreaking stories that deserved a ton of attention. But it is a zero-sum game. And when you have this syndrome, which is not just the news organizations going crazy, but also people inspired, right, to go leave their homes and fly to Aruba and look for Natalie Holloway, which was incredible. I mean, I know the parents were just so incredibly grateful. It's so painful to the families who feel like, why does no one care about my loved one? Because we live in a poor community? Because she's not attractive to you? You don't think she has value?
I marinate in the news, so then I didn't know until your special that cases involving missing Black people remain unresolved four times longer than white, missing white people. I mean, that's really quite stunning.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination, right? I mean, the women of Black and Missing, the women who run the foundation would say community needs to be more active and more aggressive, that law enforcement needs to move faster. You know, if you label someone a runaway, suddenly we're less interested in looking for them, right? If I say, hey, well, here's Jane Doe, she's run away, you think, okay.
But you make the point in the documentary that there's that presumption by the police when it's a person of color that they must be a runaway.
And law enforcement is often very slow or sometimes even reluctant to really dive in and look for these young women and men sometimes. And then also, again, the media just doesn't give it the coverage. And so you have this kind of vicious cycle of those stories just go untold, even as family members are advocating. So what they decided to do at the Black and Missing Foundation was use their background in PR and in law enforcement to actually help families figure out how to navigate the system, what photo to use, what to wear on the air, what things to ask for, how to talk to the news media, how to get PR, how to do a missing poster. I mean, you think about it, you're like, well, wow. Right? You wouldn't necessarily know if you didn't actually know. And so they've been incredibly helpful to the families who are trying to navigate in a terrible time.
There's a part that you cover in there that I just like further heartbreak on top of heartbreak. You talk, distraught families frequently plead with those responsible. They just want to bring their loved one home to bury them. This sometimes involves making deals with the devil in which their loved one's killer receives a reduced sentence in exchange for revealing where they disposed of the remains. I don't know if you remember, Christopher Wilder was the serial killer. My friend was the first woman to go missing, and then he was killed in a shootout. So some of these families, some of the girls, including my friend, are still missing, so they'll never get that closure. But it really, what an awful pain on top of the original threat when you finally have to come to, they're probably dead, and then have to go through that again, right? I mean, it's
horrific. And again, closure was a word I had to stop using because the family members would very kindly, but kind of exhaustingly tell you, like, there's no closure. Even if you are able to get the location of your loved one's body, I mean, it's not closure. It's just maybe you now are a step closer to feeling like you have, you know, some understanding and some peace for the person who you're burying finally. But I, you know, it's absolutely horrible. And these families deserve the same intensity of search as everybody does.
I frequently feel like I am in a threesome with you, me, and Eric Bollert. Everything you say, you or he, you retweet him, and I'm like, yes, 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 yes.
There is a point where you feel like you're stalking someone. You're like, I just like you. I am not like, I'm not tripping over into the crazy. I need to block you now because it's too much.
Obsessed with the new puppy. I've just everything about you. I'm like, what? But you know, you do the, that amazing work that Eric Bollert does too. You know, it's just have, and also, you know, you've been obviously on both sides. But in terms of media criticism, you're my pet peeve. Chuck Todd, this last weekend, you were like, Chuck Todd is just not good at his job. I was like, yes, yes, because it's just what has happened. So in journalism, there's never a follow-up question. There's never a, you know, he let some Republican senator get away with saying the Rittenhouse victims, oh, well, they were violent criminals that were all armed too. And it's like, no paper, plastic bag, skateboard. Do a little bit of like, pushback
it's
or something.
So sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually so painful for me sometimes that I only, you know, I'll retweet Eric because I'm almost like, I just can't get involved. Dan Frumkin too is very good. Margaret
yes.
Sullivan as mm-hmm. well. Like they all.
You yeah. did.
She did.
Oh, that was fantastic. You dropped an F-bomb. We had to dump you. Oh,
that was fun.
You're yeah. so special. I need Yay. The publicity. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
such a, my mom is a big curser, too. So
the video feed will love it.
Although, you know, English was not her first language, so she would curse totally wrong all the time.
That's awesome.
You
know, even better.
I have to tell her, like, you can't use that word that way. Like, that makes no sense.
You're like, I'm not even anyway. Sure the FCC
but
covers
those
that.
Those are other people who do. Yeah, but there are other people who do really thoughtful analysis. Yeah. And yeah, that is the problem, right? I think because media, especially our political media, you know, when you frame something as a game
yeah.
and you don't think of it as particularly important or even that there are people, like I think part of my issue and that I find so disappointing is that I do so much coverage of like human beings. So however you feel about something, right? It's human beings are impacted by these stories, by these policies. And it's been very disappointing that many people just think of it as like a football game.
Yeah, you said, I fear our nation's political reporters are not up to the challenge. We see them fail daily. I try to point out those who fail regularly. You know, I mean, it's because I feel like it's, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills all the time when we have just watched the near overthrow of the United States government. So there's that. There is an ongoing coup. There is a pandemic that, you know, the last administration, it appears to me they willfully, you know, killed tens of, it just, it cannot be a more critical time for journalism to get it right, could it?
You know, even more basic than that, if someone lies to you, right? If someone yeah. cannot tell you who is president of the United States, if someone is lying to you, you just don't put them on air, right? The point, the yeah. goal of media for me is you're supposed to help inform people and educate them and explain things, right? So that's a pretty interesting mission, you know, and that literally means that if someone who's coming on, listen, and politicians spin and they'll stretch and they'll lean into it, but someone who is an overt liar does not deserve to be on the air.
Yeah.
And the media has not figured out yet how to handle the rehabilitation of some folks who do really awful, very dishonest things and who admit it, right? And then actually continue on and get invited back to now become commentators. It's
yeah.
it's really pathetic. And I think it's because media is really competing with social media. And so this idea of informing, explaining, it's not that anymore. It's these little short nuggets of, you know, in a nutshell, here's what Build Back Better means in
yeah.
50 words or less. Well, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Well, I mean, yeah, I love your Twitter heckling because it's really the greatest. You, Trump's communications, speaking of bookings, Trump's communications directors who heartlessly spread COVID misinformation and muzzled the CDC as the White House slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people, you know, and you just said, hey, congrats to CNN for this amazing booking. the access journalism is just, it's literally killing us.
If you want to explore the issue, right? You want to talk about, there's so many great experts on COVID.
Yeah.
There are you want to talk to a Republican. If you feel like, wow, yeah. we've had too many Democrats on, let's go ahead. There are Republicans who are also able to talk factually about issues. You don't have to put people on and elevate them who are known, admitted liars who come on in the efforts to rehabilitate themselves with having done no work about it, right? It's not, you know, for the last 15 years, they've been doing X, Y, and Z. It's very disappointing. I'm just woefully disappointed.
You retweeted Sam Stein, said, some fears from Dems here that unless the White House can penetrate conservative-leaning media, the Biden-led sales pitch around his agenda will be fruitless. And you said in part because the mainstream media doesn't actually do a good job covering it. I loved, was it yesterday? Yesterday you tweeted, you know, the CEO of Walmart thanks Trump for, or excuse Trump, oh my God.
Oh God.
No. Biden for solving the supply, helping, you know, solve the supply chain thing. Oh, never mind, the shelves are stocked. And, you know, you, I think yesterday you were like, hey, where's all my inflation reporters at, y'all? Like, you know, it's just, I mean.
They don't exist, right? Because the when Wolf Blitzer, who is a very nice man, yeah. I like Wolf a lot. He is a good human being. But when he tweets about high gas prices, yeah. It's literally the at one particular station in Washington, D.C., which everybody knows is the station that's right near the car return place mm-hmm. and that's right near, you know, where the tourists go. Yeah. That is literally the equivalent of me standing in Times Square saying, can you believe they need $35 for this T-shirt? You'd be like, well, why the hell are you in Times Square? Of course it's 30. Like, why are you buying a gallon of milk in Times Square? Why are you buying anything in Times Square? It's for tourists. But that's willful, right?
Yeah.
Like he knows that. Anybody in D.C., I'm not from D.C., and even I know it. So everybody in D.C. knows that. And so then you're doing the social media thing, right? You're grabbing a snapshot and not very honestly highlighting it and pointing out a thing that actually, you know, is not really factually true. Yes, that particular one, but it's not indicative of gas prices. And so it's just deceptive, I think. And again, he's a good guy, but the media has become really, he's not the only one that lean into this sort of, you know, bull creation in order to push a story and push a narrative. And it's just very disappointing.
And I do miss him saying, and now here's Soledad O'Brien. Don't mention how hot she is. That would be sexist.
Oh, stop.
Okay. I'm thinking it was his thought bubble. Okay.
Oh, stop.
I used to love how uncomfortable Jack Cafferty made him. But so it's, the root of it is the both sides do it, right? Like when we have one congressman literally tweeting a thing, him slaughtering his colleague, it's just they let them get away with Republicans going, oh, well, Democrats do it too. Kevin McCarthy, oh, both sides. It's like, no, you tell me the examples of Democrats threatening to kill Republicans. It's
again, I think it's when you frame it as a game, then, you know, they did this and they did that. This did that, you know, and you don't think of it in terms of how do I explain this behavior by this particular congressman? Because then I don't actually have to compare it to anybody else. I can just talk about this one person who said or did this one particular thing. Because again, my mission, my agenda is to actually explain why people do what they do to my audience, help them understand what's going on. Why did he threaten that? Who is this congressperson? Let's explain it. And the other thing I think that's problematic is people feel like, well, you know, we have to cover this story. And yes, obviously, there are lots of stories that require coverage, I think, if you're going to do a good job. But there's no rule. There's no handbook that says, listen, you have to give an open mic to a congressperson or an elected official who's been deceptive and dishonest, that everyone would agree they lied about this thing. Kellyanne Conway should never have been invited back on anybody's newscast
after
she talked about alternative facts.
Right.
And
thank you.
And Chuck Todd himself, he didn't say, oh, my gosh, well, you know, here on Meet the Press, the storied Meet the Press, we don't deal in alternative facts. We only deal in facts. And so if you're not going to deal in facts, then I'm going to have to ask you to leave the show.
Well, thank like you, just the CNN headline, Rittenhouse is a late example of a nation divided on guns, crime, and protest. And you said actually polling would disagree with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Polling would disagree with it, not divided at all. Overwhelmingly, people actually don't think that we're divided on guns. It's just not true. So, you know, again, it's sort of the gun equivalent of driving to the Times Square gas station, right? Like it feels a certain way. Look at these prices. It feels because people are yelling. It's the equivalent of having an epidemiologist on to talk about COVID and also, you know, an angry mom. But guess what? You could hear from them, but they don't get the same platform and they don't get the same framing. It's one of the reasons we do a lot on my show, Matter of Fact, about science and NASA. We have NASA scientists on a lot. And I don't have a flat earth person on after.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Now let's go to Bob. He doesn't believe in space.
Okay, listen, let's cut to the chase. Do you want to host Meet the Press? Because the Steph heads are very much behind this movie.
I think so.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just tell me now
yes,
if you
really
want
don't.
It.
And while I appreciate your efforts, you know what? I now, I'm about to launch a radio show, and I now am doing Matter of Fact. And I like doing a very limited amount because I get to executive produce like our HBO project and work on all these other projects. So thank you for advocating it for me.
All right.
But you shouldn't because.
All right. Well, if you're going to be lazy, then I can't help you. But all right. Everybody watch the new documentary on HBO, Black and Missing. You're the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. Is that too much? Too much hyperbole?
No, I like it. Are you guys rolling on that? Can I get that?
Yes.
We'll send it right after the show.
Send that to her. That's her new.
All my videos that.
That's your new ringtone. Yes, love you. Please come back again soon. Please. Love you, Soledad. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you guys. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.